everybody. Welcome. I'm sure you can't help but notice we're in the car again. There's definitely a reason. We've been in the car a lot lately because I am moving. I'm moving to a new apartment. This is an upgrade slash change for me in a lot of ways. I will be in the top floor of a house, so I'll only have one actual neighbor, as in, like, neighbor who shares a wall. It's kind of funny, like, people will complain about their neighbor sometimes, and it's like, oh, yeah, my neighbor, their yard is trashy or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that does suck. But also, when my neighbors are shitty, it's like, basically, like, if they're living in the same house as you, just separated by a wall. And I have this loud oaf who lives next door to me right now, who I've just come to, I don't know, not really notice. Or I don't know if our schedules have just changed, but fuck them. Anyway, so I'll only have one downstairs neighbor, which is a record low for me. Oh, and I'll be the upstairs person. For the first time in my life, my windows will be like at head level. You know what I mean? They won't be just above subterranean. Like where my windows, when I'm in my apartment, I stand and look out them. And when someone walks by, I see their knees and below. Yeah, it's giving me a nice taste for people's knees. When I see a real hot pair of lady knees walking by, can identify that right away. So it's not without its, you know, there's an element of skill building that I enjoy. So anyway, things have been in a little disarray because I'm moving. And I came up with this plan. Here's what I'm really good at is coming up with good plans that sound good. And here's what I'm really not good at, doing the plan. I was like, if you spend a mere 15 minutes a day packing your shit or doing things or throwing things away or getting ready to move, by your moving date, you'll have done 8 hours of work. And that seems like probably the maximum amount I can really do. Because here's the thing about my apartment. It's not like I can just pack stuff up and put it in the garage. Or, you know, clean out a room first and then put stuff in there. Like, I have 6 boxes packed right now. And they're just kind of in the middle of the fucking room. And there's nowhere to put them. And as soon as you put them somewhere, you know, I stacked up these 3 boxes, and then I was like, well, shit, now I can't get in this file cabinet, which I want to clear out to put some other shit in there. So you're fucked. No matter what you do, you're fucked. But also, I'm just the worst person. Is this just me, or is this a human condition? I am the worst person in the world when it comes to doing something 15 minutes a day. Like, I would much, they say, okay, like, clean 15 minutes a day, but I would much rather just clean for, like, 2 hours straight and then be done. Because, to me, the impractical part of cleaning 15 minutes a day, you gotta get all that shit out. You gotta get your products. And then you're always out of something. And you're like, well, maybe Windex will clean a bathtub, and it won't. It will not. You won't feel better once that's done. You might as well just clean your bathtub with balsamic vinaigrette. At least that's a food. At least that goes in your body, and now it's on your body. As opposed to Windex, which doesn't go on or in your body. And so when you're cleaning 15 minutes a day, it's like you waste half the time getting the shit out. Right? I feel like this is a trick that people are playing on me, where they're saying, just commit to 15 minutes a day. But, you know, once you get started, it's easy to keep going. It's hard to get started, but it's easy to keep going, right? That's kind of what I think they're trying to trick me into. They're trying to be like, ooh, yeah, we'll just get him started cleaning. I don't know why these dastardly dastards are trying to get me to clean. That's not a thing. But they are. Let's just assume they are and go from there. Okay, let's not make bad assumptions about me. Let's make bad assumptions about other people. Let's assume the worst about people who aren't me. So, you know, my 15 minutes of packing plan has turned into no packing for 3 days, then 2 hours of stuff for once. So, I don't know. I might hit the 8 hours. I might make it. I mean, the good news is I've only lived in my place like a year. I moved from a two-bedroom to a studio 1 year ago, so I haven't accumulated a ton of shit since then. It's not going to be a big, there's going to be more room for me than there was before. However, a big change with this move coming for me, a big life change. For the first time in my life, ever since I moved out, you know, becoming an adult, I had a roommate before, but I've never lived with my girlfriend's cat. And now I will be living with my girlfriend's cat and also my girlfriend. So this is a big change for me that I'm pretty scared about. I don't know what this is going to be like. I'm pretty militant about my times to myself and really enjoy it. Although I was very comforted because maybe a week ago we were talking and she was saying, I'm a little scared because I've been noticing I've been really sort of like cherishing the time I have to myself. And I was like, I'm glad to hear you say that because I've been doing the same thing and am nervous about that disappearing forever. I also had a nightmare about her cat, and it was just following me around all the time in the house, and I was like, Jesus Christ, can't you just leave me alone for 2 seconds? Which is actually what happens in real life. The cat just follows me around everywhere and follows her around everywhere. If she's home, it follows her, but if I'm there, it follows me. Especially in the morning. Cat really likes to be involved in the morning routine, I'll tell you that right now. Which you would think would be uninterested in because it likes to, you know, screw around at night. But it seems to like to get up with you or get you up. And, you know, you feed her and stuff, but she's not real into that. She wants to, like, sit on the sink and see what you're doing with that toothbrush. You know, and then you get in the shower and she's going in between the curtains. Running around in there. And then I'm taking a shower this other morning. And I feel this tickle. And it's because the cat is licking my thigh while I'm in the shower. Licking the water off my thigh. Upper thigh, almost my butt. That was the point where I made this decision of, I think that when I live with this cat, we will not be showering together. I think that gave her the benefit of the doubt, gave her the chance to succeed, gave her the chance to be in the shower in the bathroom with me without, you know, getting too involved in the shower. And that trust was misplaced, my friends. Turns out that was a mistake. She is not to be trusted in a shower situation. So that's. I think that might not happen anymore. I think I might do that. I have to say, I also find it pretty weird when I'm taking a shit. I don't really like the cat just sitting on the counter up above me even. She's like just 4 or 5 inches her eye line is above me. So she's looking down on me while I'm taking a shit. And I feel like she knows what I'm doing. Because she's like, I do that, you do that, but you do it more. And, you know, you sit on this specific chair to do it. I go in this little sandbox or whatever. It's just not comfortable. I feel like taking a shit is a time that can be uncomfortable enough, regardless of what concessions you make. So I just want to maximize the comfort. I mean, here's the thing. If I had my druthers, I'd be like, I don't know, man. I think there are certain spots that are not cat-related, and the bathroom would be one of those. I just feel like, does she really need to be in there? And she's, you know, interruptive to the processes, whether it be showering without being molested or taking a shit without just feeling her gaze upon me. I don't know. I wish she would at least... Here's the kind of courtesy I would like. If I'm taking a shit and she could just act uninterested. She seems way too interested. And that's the real problem. Or when I'm peeing, she like watches me pee. And she follows with her eyes the stream up and down from its source to its ultimate destination. And I just find that a little disturbing. Is that, I mean, I guess, do I have to justify that? Do I have to be like, oh, here's why I don't like a cat watching, actively watching me do my bathroom stuff? I'll tell you this. If you've ever moved, you already know. Probably that's almost everyone. Like, the cruel joke of moving is that, you know, you throw so much shit out and get rid of so much shit and clean your place as clean as it's ever been. And it makes it seem shittier that you're leaving. You know, it's like, you're ready to move and everything, but at the same time, you're like, God damn it, this is, I could just always have my life like this. I could always be this tidy and get rid of all this extra shit. I've been throwing out a bunch of stuff. I got rid of a bunch of, you know, I had this organization scheme where I got a bunch of audiobook cases. And that's what I'm putting all my video games and DVDs and stuff in, because I figured it would save space, and it's totally working. But this is the kind of thing that I'm like, why didn't I think of this forever ago? I could have done this so long ago. That would have been awesome. But whatever. And, you know, so I've been tossing stuff and just, you know, papers and crap that I'm, you just don't need anymore, or, you know, never needed but have. I have to say, so there was, like, one thing that I could not toss that I was planning to, and I went to throw it in the dumpster last night. It's a, so I have this boombox, and this is, like, something I've had since I was a kid. There's, like, marks on it. I marked it in this orange marker where the stations I liked were, because it had, you know, a manual slider thing for the different radio stations. And you would slide it across to get the different stations tuned in. So what I did is I put brackets around where the slider would be so that the stations I liked were perfectly tuned, right? That way you didn't have to, like, screw around guesswork. You could just go straight to it. And, you know, it still plays radio as far as I know. I haven't tried to use the radio in forever. And it plays CDs and stuff. So it's not like it's just trash, but I unplugged it, I took it out to the dumpster last night, and I just couldn't do it. Like, I could not get rid of it. Somehow, that beast is too tied in my memories, I think. And, like, when I was looking at it, I just felt like, oh, I can't get rid of this. Even though I also felt like, well, why the fuck not? I mean, it's not like it's this amazing thing, and it's not beautiful. It's not like a cool vintage jam box, you know, it's a mid-90s, whatever, $10. I mean, now it would be $10 at the Arc, maybe, if I was lucky enough to have someone think it was worth that much. But I don't know, you just think about, like, all the music and stuff you listen to there, all those, like, angsty bands I listen to, and then all the stand-up comedy CDs I listened on there, and then taping songs I liked off the radio was a big thing on that boombox. I even had, like, this tiny microphone you could plug into the boombox, and I tried recording things onto tapes. I just tried recording songs and stuff. But kind of some of the first broadcasting I experimented with, I suppose. But I don't know. It's not like I thought about all this stuff and had this trip down memory lane and was like, I can't do it to my precious jam box. It was just like, I went to throw it away and was like, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to throw this away. I don't want to get rid of this. But good news is that's pretty much the only thing. So that's a plus. I only had one thing. It could have been, would have been nice with something a little smaller. If it had been a cup. And then that way I could just, screw it. I mean, the thing is with this Jambox, it works, but I never use it. I do not listen to stuff on it, ever. Ever, ever. And I'm contemplating getting rid of all my compact discs, which seems crazy, but at the same time, not crazy at all. I don't know. I don't know, man. These are the tough decisions that I'm going through right now. The Jambox, the CDs. Don't need them, but do I want to get rid of them? And I don't need to get rid of them necessarily. I just don't, I don't know. I'd like to get rid of things that I don't want or need. Like, if it's not decorative and fun and it's not useful, what am I doing? How much stuff can you keep out of just pure nostalgia? I don't know. a jam box and a tub full of CDs, does that kind of max it out? But at any rate, that's been the biggest conflict for me personally, moving out, moving my stuff, doing all that shit. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. Nervous. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe that's the end of this show. You know, maybe I move out and my girlfriend's like, I don't want you doing that shit anymore. She'll be like, hey, this show is over. Laughing time is over, fun boy. And she unplugs a cord, and then you just hear, boo, and that's it. That's the end of my broadcast career. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Also, that's not a thing. But, yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking. I don't know. I'm just not looking forward to... I'm really having a hard time separating my feelings from moving in with my girlfriend, which are mostly positive, and the things that aren't positive aren't related to her specifically so much as living not by myself. And then separating those feelings from the feelings just of moving. You know, I just don't want to move. Like, the physical act of moving is just fucking annoying. Packing the boxes, moving the shit, and we got to move all her stuff too. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep you updated. I'll let you know. Hopefully I'll just be like, oh, it's amazing. I don't know why I didn't do this earlier. I was hoping to save a few bucks, I'm not going to lie, by living with someone. I will be paying the exact same rent. I'm also moving about two streets west of where I live. I mean, I'm on the same avenue, or the same street, two avenues west. Couldn't be a lot closer to where I live right now. But I am moving west, which is towards the richer side of town. So I think I'm coming out ahead on that front. You know, to a certain extent, I'm achieving victory by moving that direction very slowly. Saw a weird thing the other day that I thought I'd bring up on here. I've been talking to people in real life about how, like, basically why I don't use Facebook at all anymore. Like, I just forward stuff to it from other sources and then check it like once every probably 2 or 3 weeks just to see if anyone's trying to correspond. Sometimes people send me a Facebook message instead of whatever. So here's the problem. I went through and, you know, you can like unfollow people, right? So I had weird like conservative friends and stuff and people who became cops, and I unfollowed a lot of those people just because I was, you know, tired of seeing the dumb things they posted. I was like, whatever, I don't need to spend my time thinking about this shit. And then I found, though, that once I had done that, now I lacked balance, and I was having the opposite. Now I felt like that person, because I was like, Jesus Christ, everybody who I see on the Facebook is just offended by something new every day. And sometimes the thing, you know, far be it from me to say what is and isn't offensive. That's not my role. I think the hard thing is just when you have 90 people or whatever and they all seem to have a different thing that they're offended by, it becomes difficult for me. I don't think I'm a super easily offended person, and I don't really take on causes or anything. And it makes it difficult for me when I see 90 different things over the period of a week that are like, holy shit, can you believe this offensive thing? Holy shit, can you believe that offensive thing? Not because I'm like, these aren't happening or these aren't offensive, but I know myself, I'd burn out. I get way burned out on that. And eventually I'm just like, I don't know, I don't care anymore. Like, I don't. Or, you know, I'll see something through the week and then just be like, yeah, I mean, that's bad, but this other thing I saw seems about 1,000 times worse. So I don't have the outrage. But, you know, I would get in these little arguments about that stuff and then was just like, you know what, fuck this shit. I just don't care. So I've been coming across that stuff less lately, which is nice. But I came across one the other day that I thought was kind of funny, and also specifically in my wheelhouse of interests outside of this stuff, which is comics, right? Like, I enjoy my comic books. I have opinions on, you know, the history versus the now and how that all works out. You know, if you want to talk to me about Black Captain America and Lady Thor, I think I present a balanced view. I'm fine with it. I don't give a shit. If you tell a good story, I don't really care who it is. I will tell you that, you know, just because someone doesn't like the Falcon being Captain America doesn't mean they're racist. I'm going to tell you that right now, because people were bitching and moaning about Hal Jordan being replaced by Kyle Rayner as Green Lantern, and those were both white guys. Same thing with The Flash. People hated Wally West. I fucking loved Wally West. The only Flash stories I've ever enjoyed have been Wally West. You know, and he replaced some other shithead who was dead. And then they brought him back because everyone complained. Everyone complained when the Green Lantern was replaced with another white male Green Lantern. And everyone complained when a white male Flash was replaced with a different white male Flash. So I do want to say it doesn't automatically make you a racist. It makes you boring. It makes you kind of an idiot to be like, well, I only want to read about this character with a magic ring if it's this guy who has these traits, and that's it. But, you know, so I don't know. But some people just like, just because you like Steve Rogers doesn't mean you dislike the Falcon. Let's put it that way. Just because, I mean, if you consider part of what's essential to the character Captain America, his sort of like World War II and the fact that he's from the past and all that stuff, yeah, the Falcon doesn't have that. So there you go. That said, I think it's fine, and I think that, Jesus Christ, how many fucking Captain America Steve Rogers stories do we need? Like, when do we say, all right, that'll do? There are more of them out there than I could ever read in a lifetime. Half of them suck anyway, so why not? Why not just give it to someone else and see what happens? I don't know, at least it gives them something to do for a little while. So, I don't know, that's a long way of me just saying, I don't really care who's what, as long as they just tell a good story. There you go. So, I saw this other thing that was related to comics and was in a similar vein. And here's what it was. It was a post where someone had redone comic book art and made the heroes look quote-unquote realistic. And it was like a body issues thing. I think it was from an eating disorder website is where they were originally posted, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I'm not going to lessen the problems these people have, but I thought that these pictures were really stupid. And they were men and women. So let's start with the men. Let's talk about why the pictures of the men were stupid. Captain America basically looked like Captain America before he took the serum. Like, he had skinny arms and he just kind of was doughy. Here's why that particular one is stupid. We have a guy whose body looks like Captain America in real life. And he plays Captain America in the movie. So when we're saying, like, this is a real body type, I have to say, well, I've also seen a guy whose body actually does look like Captain America's body. Like, that is also a real body that has happened. I've seen it. It's right there. I can watch it anytime I want. So it's a little tough for me because when they're saying, well, this type of body isn't realistic, because I feel like, well, it is for at least one guy. You know, I think Thor guy is also pretty much looks like fucking Thor. Like, when I see him, I don't think, oh, his body looks unrealistic or something. I think his body looks great. I'd touch that body. But to call it unrealistic is weird because it's like, well, it is realistic. It's real. It's reality. So Captain America, that's why Captain America was dumb. They also had an Iron Man that was of particular interest because Iron Man also had very thin arms and like a pot belly, which was weird Because he's in the Iron Man suit. Why would you build an Iron Man suit with a potbelly? Why would you even do that? That just takes more metal. To make a domed shape, that takes way more metal than just a flat thing. And like, hey, listen, I know that that's what people look like. I know there are people who look like that. But you know what else there is not? You know what else is unrealistic? Is a guy getting in a fucking suit of armor and flying around with jets and shooting rays at people and going into dimensions and fighting a evil Asian guy who has weird rings. These are all very unrealistic things. Nothing about this is realistic. I don't. To me, the shape of Iron Man's body, which is a suit of armor. I mean, look at a suit of armor from medieval days. Oh my God, a guy's body doesn't look like that. I don't know about you. I've never seen a guy who just has a slit instead of eyes. That's crazy. Why not just put a nose on the Iron Man suit then? Why doesn't it have a nose? Because he doesn't fucking need one. What would he use it for? That's just another hole where evil lasers can get shot in or some shit. I don't know. All I'm saying is, these realistic portraits, to me, were less realistic in a way. Like, if you think about it, if you put 1 second of thought into it, yes, the Iron Man drawn there is more typical of a body type. However, it's not more realistic to think someone would make a suit of armor that has a goddamn potbelly on it. Why wouldn't I just make a suit of armor with a huge ass on it? Why would you even do that? Or, you know, whatever. Why would you make, if you had skinny arms, why wouldn't you just make the arms bigger? Why would you make a form-fitting Iron Man suit? If you put on 10 pounds, you're fucked. Captain America calls and he's like, listen, we need to go fight Thanos. Infinity Gems, he's got that gauntlet, we're fucked. And Iron Man's like, well, I put on a little weight, I cannot fit in the suit, so we're screwed. So I'm going to hit the treadmill and let you know when I'm ready to go. But my doctor says, you know, you just want to lose maybe a pound a week. So really, you know, a couple months if you guys are still fighting. I'll tell you what, I'll set an iCal reminder to check with you in a couple months. Once I've lost the weight and see if this Thanos thing is still going on or, you know, how it goes. Maybe it's stopped and restarted again. And we'll go from there. Sound good, buddy? So that's kind of what the men looked like. Just basically less ripped. And I don't know. I know that people have problems with body dysmorphia and thinking whatever, but at the same time, I think that, like, Captain America in the movies looks, you know, much better than the typical, but I don't think he looks 100 times better than the attainable. How about that? For a young man. I mean, why didn't they make any of them old, right? Like, all they did was just make them tubbier, doughier, and less muscular. They didn't make any of them old, or they didn't make any of them little kids. Or like, how come there's no fucking old Iron Man? How come they're like, oh, how come he's always got to have that fucking mustache? Can't have a touch of gray in there? Let's move on to the women. Now, the women, for the most part, were similar to how they look, except, like the men, doughier. You know, they usually had larger thighs and hips than in the picture, I would say, was the thing, and usually, like, arm flab. Which, again, is fine. Like, I don't know, there was a Wonder Woman, and she was basically less defined. And honestly, that one, if I saw that cover, I don't know if I would think about it too much. I might think about, like, they usually draw these characters more muscular and wonder if maybe the artist was just being lazy. I mean, it would be kind of fun as an artist to be like, I'm going to draw her a little chubbier, you know, as a body positive thing. But in your head, you're like, think how much time I'm going to save if I don't have to draw all these quads all the time. If I could just kind of draw a smooth leg and then a kneecap, Jesus Christ, It's going to cut my drawing time in half. If I don't have to draw her biceps at all, I just kind of draw tube arms and give them a little shading, we're good to go. So, you know, the Wonder Woman, I didn't notice a vast difference, except for they were side by side. And was like, yeah, all right, I think, whatever. You know. Fine. The one that I thought was interesting was Power Girl. Power Girl, who is famous for, she's this blonde lady who has huge boobs and a boob window in her costume. And, like, basically what they did with her was the same thing as Wonder Woman, and then they also shrank the size of her boobs. And, like, I guess that makes sense. It's more realistic. Well, here's what I think was the overall theme that I didn't understand. Why is... So they basically were saying not everyone's this muscular body type, but they were also kind of saying, like, not everyone is a spectacular, or no one has, like, they basically made everyone's body less ideal, right? And it's, I have to think, if there were hundreds of superheroes, probably one of them would look like fucking Ryan Reynolds with no shirt, right? Because Ryan Reynolds looks like Ryan Reynolds with no shirt. Or I don't really think there's a reason that if a super lady had big boobs, she couldn't fight crime, right? Why would that make sense? I would think she probably wouldn't want just a boob window on her costume. But I don't know. It's okay, here's what's weird. They made her chubbier and reduced the size of her boobs. And you're just like, you changed all the things to be less... Sports Illustrated, I guess, on these lady ones, and on the men ones to be less, I don't know, wherever the fuck people look at naked men, True Blood, something. They just made it less appealing, I guess, which is a weird way to go about it. And it, I don't know, it just seems to say to me, like, well, basically, a good body is not normal. And therefore shouldn't be represented or whatever. And it just didn't make sense, I guess. The logic, none of the ones really made sense to me. And the only ones that did were like the Wonder Woman where I didn't... It made sense, but then there was no point. I didn't see the point. So that's our superhero moment of the day. I don't know. I guess, like, to me, it just makes sense that, you know, Superman. Why would Superman... Why would Superman be fat? He's Superman. He's supposed to be like the best man. The greatest, strongest man, I would think, would probably look like Superman, right? Or, you know, Captain America. I mean, they're supposed to be spectacular. The spectacular Spider-Man. He's like thinner, and sometimes he's thin, sometimes he's ripped, sometimes he looks like he's 12, sometimes he looks like he's 40. It's all over the place. I can see, you know, like, yeah, why doesn't Wolverine have a gut? Like, why would that matter? It doesn't seem like it would matter, but who knows? Could Cyclops have a gut? Would we care? Would anyone give a shit? Cyclops got a little fat. Like, what's-his-face in Battlestar Galactica? You come back from, like, season 2 or 4 or whatever, and all of a sudden he's really fat, and I was like, is that a thing they did on purpose on here? Is he supposed... Am I supposed to be like he's fat, or am I supposed to... Is he just fat, and they just don't mention it in the show? That's, like, exactly how I felt when I saw this Wonder Woman, right? Like, there was this... Okay, Battlestar Galactica left, and they came back at the beginning of the next season, and a little time had passed... And they made one guy fat. But they didn't make him, like, outrageously fat. He just looked like he'd put on 20 pounds or something and was wearing it extremely well. And, you know, he seemed to be more red in the face. And, like, I just kept wondering when I was watching this, like, number one, am I imagining this? Was he just, did I just not really notice? I didn't think he was fat, but maybe he was fat. Number two... Are they mentioning it in the show, or is this like, did he pull like a Matthew Perry from Friends, where he took the season off, chubbed up, but they're like, eh, what are we going to do? We're not going to say anything, because this is a guy. is a real man, not a just a character on a show. And the real man got fat of his own drinking slash cocaine accord. So who are we to mess with that? So I didn't know with Battlestar. And that's kind of how the Wonder Woman was, too, where I think she looks chubbier, but is that like a thing they did on purpose, or is that just this person draws her that way? I don't know. I wouldn't know. Anyway, I don't know. It's not like I was offended by fat superheroes, or I guess realistic superheroes. I don't know. I just felt like, you know, you see a fireman calendar, they looked a lot better than these superheroes, and these are supposed to be fucking superheroes. There you go. I mean, boxers look better than these people, and that seems to be like a similar thing. You're just fighting people for a living, right? And I assume when you're not fighting people, you're just kind of getting ready to fight people. Whatever. I mean, they didn't have... I wanted to see normal, quote-unquote, Hulk. Because that's like a good example to me of that makes no fucking sense, right? Like the whole point of him is he's super strong and crazy. And we'd be like, well, he's not nearly as strong. And also he's, you know, mind is very normal. As a person who suffers from bipolar disorder, I find the character of the Hulk very offensive. It propagates a negative stereotype that, you know, people who suffer from bipolarity are completely out of control and have these two completely different personalities that don't even recognize the existence of each other. And it's just, these are all the things I've been fighting my whole life to quash, you know, and you just throw them out there. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievably offensive to me. There you go. I don't know. Sometimes it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough if you're someone who's offended by a lot of things. Like, I don't want to attack people who feel offended because, whatever, some shit's offensive and there's a lot of bad shit out there. But, man, sometimes I'm like, Jesus Christ, how the fuck do you get through a day? Like, it's got to be the worst. I feel legitimately bad for those people because it's got to be tough. It's got to be bad. I don't know. I'll get offended one of these days. I guess I'm offended by, you know, the lack of logic in superheroes. How about that? I just feel like, all right, whatever. So I had my review of Castlevania II, Simon's Curse, Worlds of Power novelization. Because I had such a good time reading that one, I decided to go ahead and order some more Worlds of Power books and got one in the mail yesterday. This is Worlds of Power Bionic Commando. Came with a free trading card, which is actually still inside, which is pretty fucking awesome. It's been detached from whatever it was originally attached to, but I've got it. Now, here's something crazy. I was looking at these books, and, you know, I ordered several of them, but there are a couple of them that are super expensive for some reason. I think Before Shadowgate is super expensive. There's also, I think, maybe Wizards and Warriors or something. I don't know. Metal Gear. Metal Gear was super expensive. Why? What could be so expensive about this? All I can think of is maybe they had a real limited print run. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about the game Bionic Commando. In this game, you play the Bionic Commando. And your job is to rescue an agent who's been captured, who goes by the name Super Joe. And that doesn't seem to be like a code name or anything. It's almost like his first name, Super, last name, Joe. Oh, sorry, I had to sneeze. Super Joe. So not only is his first name not a first name, his last name is a first name. Could you come up with a weirder name than fucking Super Joe? So he gets captured, and you have to go get him back from what is basically Nazis. And the game has simultaneously the craziest and kind of great ending to a game I've ever seen. The way the game ends is basically you fight Hitler, and then he's like in a thing, like a robot or something. And then it shows a pretty detailed, for the time, animation of Hitler's head exploding when you defeat him. Like his head, it shows a close-up of his face and it kind of bursts apart. And as a kid, you're like, holy shit. That's like some Terminator shit. Now, granted, I do think the programmers could make a pretty legitimate argument of like, no kid was going to see this. This game's way too fucking hard. There's no way you're going to make it and see this. And even if you do, we show it, it's on the screen for 2 seconds. And then how is a parent ever going to replicate this? Like, I feel like if you wanted to make a court case about this or something, it would be impossible. Because you would try to show it in court and no one would get to see it. They'd say, okay, well, play to the end of the game so we can see the ending. And, you know, they'd have to hire a special attorney. I'd like to call Billy Mitchell to the stand to play this fucking game so we could see the ending. And then after that, it's got this actually semi-touching ending for a video game, again, where it's being narrated. And it's this guy, and it's showing these different pictures of him when he was young, and he's telling this story about, you know, his time as a commando or whatever, and he's saying, let me tell you the story about the man who saved my life. And it shows, like, pictures of this guy, you know, through the rest of his life after he had been saved. There's, like, an extremely loud O. It's like, why do I hear an extremely loud radio? It's some fuckface on a motorcycle. Seriously, people on motorcycles are dicks. Like, you just need a radio blaring when you're on your motorcycle. How is that allowed? That's crazy. That would be like if I mounted a giant jam box on the outside of my car and blasted it into the window from outside. And everyone's like, yeah, it seems fine. You don't need a radio on your motorcycle. You can't hear anything. You have to wear headphones to hear anything, and even then you can't hear shit. And then you're loud as fuck whenever you stop. Anyway, so it's got this sort of, like, touching ending, like, more story at the ending than you would expect from the time, maybe I could say. So I'm very curious how this book for kids is going to deal with Hitler, Nazis, and this sort of ending to the story. So I thought as just sort of a maybe little bonus preview, maybe we could go through like the first 10 minutes of the book together and see what I might be in for. So it starts off with the pit of peril. Jack looked at the floor. In front of him was an open pit with sharp spikes sticking up from its bottom. There was only one way across that pit. He'd have to swing over it and hope he didn't end up as shish kebab. Then something happened that gave him hope. A panel in the floor started moving back and forth over the spikes. This might be the break he needed. Jack waited for the exact right second. Then he pointed his bionic arm upward, pushed a button, and shot out his grappling hook into the ceiling. Thonk! Jack tugged on the rope hanging down from the hook. The hook held. Then, aiming for the shifting panel, Jack swung out over the pit. Halfway across the pit, Jack looked down. Something was wrong, really wrong. The panel was moving away from him instead of toward him. Beneath his feet, the pit was yawning wide like a mouth of a famished monster. Only a few more seconds, and he would be mincemeat. See, this is what's hilarious about these books to me. You have this guy swinging across a pit of spikes. Fine. Like, that's basically all you did in Bionic Commando, was use this bionic arm to swing across shit, and it was impossible. You know, you had to shoot it diagonally, which was impossible. That's all you did. And, you know, you'd swing out onto a moving platform, right? Like, that was a big thing. Because then you had to drop onto this platform and so on. Now, why that element would be in your book makes no sense. Because there are certain things that, as soon as you start to think about them in a real way, make no fucking sense anymore. Why anyone would have any sort of facility that contained a spike pit with a panel that moved over it back and forth makes no sense. Like, that is not something anyone would, even the craziest of villain would not have that, right? Like, when people stormed a castle and there was a moat around it, did they have, like, a board that they would lift up and put down, or, like, take across by a pulley and it was just in constant motion? They hired some peasant to just move this board back and forth across the water on a rope so that... So what? So when people came, they could have the challenge of trying to get over, and it's like, well, if you can jump on the board and get over the moat and jump off, you've earned it. You should pillage the castle. That seems to make sense to me. Like, I didn't... This is the whole thing about video game bosses, that even as a kid... You know, I'm asking this question when I'm like 6 years old. You're playing Super Mario, and you're going through the levels, and, you know, Bowser set up all these traps and these fire flower things and all this stuff. And the first question you ask is, like, why would he leave these power-ups around? And then the next question you ask is, like, why wouldn't he just make one big pit? Or, what, you know, just a constant row of Goombas that you can't possibly get past. Like, why would you make this possible to get past? It's almost like every boss in a game is this sadistic, weird asshole who wants you to get there, sort of, but also doesn't. Like, in his heart of hearts, he wants to face you down, but then also he kind of doesn't. It's sort of like whenever I make plans to do something. Like, when I make plans to go on a vacation, I want to do it, but then as it approaches and I'm doing all the work to get to doing it, I'm like, ugh, I wish I was just staying home, right? That's kind of like what's happening here, I think. It's like these bad guys make these plans. They're like, all right, I'll fight Mario. And then as it gets closer, they're like, ah, Jesus, I really don't want to do that. I wish I could just stay home. I don't know why I scheduled this. But, you know, once he's fighting Mario, he's like, I'm glad I did this. Then when he gets beaten, he's probably not happy, but whatever. Circle of life, right? It just, and so to incorporate that into your narrative makes it extra crazy. And they do that in all these Worlds of Power books. You know, they say, like, oh, well, we better put something in the story about how they get these special items. Or, like, why does Mega Man get an energy tank along the way? Why is there just energy tanks? Why wouldn't Dr. Wily be like, hey, how about you clear out these fucking energy tanks before Mega Man gets here? Sweep this shit up, put it away, hide it behind a panel somewhere, and let's go. You know, Mega Man's perfect example. You're playing through that, and there's, like, traps with spikes or a laser that comes out of the wall. And you're like, why wouldn't you just have the laser constantly go, and then I couldn't possibly get through here? And, you know, then, of course, though, you're like, well, I guess if you were Mega Man, it's like, I would just shoot a hole in the wall and walk through the back part of the game, I guess, rather, you know, pull a portal, too, and get the fuck out of here rather than screwing around with this shit. This is way too much. They didn't need to make it this hard. This book is a Free Public Schools and Reading is Fundamental book giveaway that belonged to Bart Howard. So if you're out there, Bart, this is for you. This book is not authorized, sponsored, or endorsed by Nintendo of America. That's interesting. How the fuck did they get that to work? Based on the best-selling game by Capcom? Maybe Capcom gets to decide? Not Nintendo? Interesting. Oh, this is dedicated to my bionic nephews, Ted and Dan. Okay. You don't have bionic nephews. There's also a special thanks in here. I think it's a little weird to put in your book, like, oh, yeah, you know, special thanks. I couldn't have done it without you. Couldn't have wrote this crazy-ass book without you. Let's just go through a page here. Jack Markson stood by the huge window of the Federation penthouse in Buenos Aires. He looked out at the setting sun, hovering over the rooftops of the city. He hadn't felt peace like this for months. Not since he'd started the mission against the Naz. N-A-Z-Z. So I guess what they did is they took Nazis and just replaced it with another Z. Okay. Jack ran his hand through his short brown hair and thought back to the early hours of the day. Before sunrise, he and his partner, Super Joe, had burst into the hiding place of the Naz terrorist organization. This surprise raid had netted them every important Naz leader. Only one thing had slipped through their hands: the plans for Albatross, a weapon of destruction so powerful that it could wipe out the world. Jack turned around as Super Joe came through the penthouse door, carrying 4 boxes of hot pizza. He was still wearing his green commando uniform and looked like he needed a shower. Bad. Looks like sunset for the Nas, huh, Jack? Joe said, looking out the window. Sure does, Jack said. I'm glad I'm not spending the night in that Argentine jail with them. It looked pretty grim. They were getting what they deserve, Joe said, opening up the pizza and starting to eat. And we're getting what we deserve. This stuff is great. Cool. So they're eating pizza. Well, it started off and they got everything but the plans for this machine, but it's like, well, they went on a raid and who did they get? Every one of the bad guys. Case closed. I'm glad to see that the Nazis will be in here. They were in the first paragraph. Looks like we're in good shape. Looks like Bionic Commando might be the way to go. All right, guys. I got to get back. Get back to work. But hopefully these car casts are totally listenable and not horrible. Or, you know, you just don't hate me because I called superheroes fatzos or fitzos or whatever. That's my fitness book, by the way, from fatso to fitzo. I don't know if I've ever defined that on the show, but a fitzo is somebody who is fit but kind of annoying about it. And it's like a derogatory term for someone who's in good shape. You know, like someone would use fatso, like, oh, check out fatso. You'd be like, oh, look at fitzo over there. Fuck him, huh? So that's, feel free to use that, make that part of the lexicon. The lexicon of insults, which is probably the fastest expanding and most hilarious lexicon. All right. Thanks for listening. Oh, I do have to make an announcement. Today is the 17th. On March 20th, the campaign for Pete Reed's Tyra Banks' Model Land and Reviews It will end. I'll put a link up to that in the description for this show. It's a Kickstarter. If you just Kickstarter and you search Model Land, you'll find it. All one word, Model Land. Double L. Here's the thing. I would like to review this book in epic detail. And I put up a Kickstarter where I'd get paid $100 total to do so. Now, you don't have to pay me $100. You could pay me like a dollar. If you feel like a dollar is, you've got a dollar's worth of entertainment out of me in the last, let's say, year, pay me a dollar. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I deserve $100. I'm just saying I deserve one of your dollars, right? You know, I know that sounds like a lot in a way, $100, but think about it this way. I mean, my hosting for the year costs more than that. Just hosting the website costs more than that. So already I'm in the hole, and this doesn't dig me out of the hole either. But, you know, I've come to accept, like, there's a certain cost of doing business, which is the business of just talking crazy into a microphone. It would just be nice to recoup some of that. It would be nice to have a year where I did this kind of stuff and broke even. You know what I mean? Where I wasn't paying to do it. Like, I was still spending my time and not getting paid for my time in any way. But I wasn't losing money to do this stuff. That would be great. That would be amazing. I would consider that a huge victory. And honestly, and you know, I talked about this in the post I put up about it, which you can find also probably like a week down on Helpful Snowman. Basically, the big fat hairy goal here I've decided is to, like, you know, I would like to write for a living, right? But to go straight from working full-time to writing for a living doesn't seem very likely. So what I'm hoping to do is kind of start making a transition, by which I mean perhaps if I can make a little more from writing, I could cut down from 40 hours to 32 hours a week. And that means I have an entire other day to do writing projects. And I think that would be honestly time I could spend doing goofy, silly shit, right? You know, I like doing things like this, and I like doing things like Ninja Sons, and, you know, and I like to put those things out there, and I set them to be free often, and want them to be free. And honestly, the only reasons I don't just make them free all the time is because Amazon won't let me. Like, that's not possible. But usually they're $1. And then I think Ninja Suns is like $1.99 because that actually gives me more options to make it free. Like, that's how their price structure works. It's insane. So what I'm saying is, I'd like to make the gradual transition to doing more of this stuff and less of work stuff. And, you know, it's still hard work, but it's, I like it a lot more, and I think that other people probably get a lot more out of it too, sadly. So not making the complete switch, but hey, if I could make another $100 and review a book, if I did that like once a month or once every 2 months even, that would make a huge difference. That would make a big difference in, you know, now I can have $100. Basically how I see it is I buy $100 worth of my time back from my job. And it gets me that much closer. So it's not buying, you know, a full-time job away. But every $100 you make is $100 that I don't have to work at my job for that I can do something else for instead. So that's the big fat hairy goal. With that, right? That's where it's all headed. That's the ultimate evil end of all this. So if that's something you want to support, if you think that that's a good thing and that would result in more good things, give me a fucking dollar. Here's the other thing, by the way, if you've never donated to a Kickstarter before. If I don't make the goal of $100, you don't get charged anything. So if you pledge $1 and I don't make it by the 20th, it's over. It's, you know, you don't even owe me the dollar. You don't even have to actually pay me $1. You just have to pledge $1. So there you go. All you have to do is say you'll give me $1 that you probably won't have to give me anyway, and I'll feel much better about things. Okay? No ads on the show, right? We've never done ads. We did Snowball ads, but that's it. And I don't plan to. I'm not seeking that. That's not a goal. It's not something I want. I don't have ads on the website. I don't put recommended Amazon items. I don't do any of that shit. And I don't want to. And I probably won't. So this is a real empty threat. But there you go. I guess you could reward my empty threat, or you could, you know, patronize somebody else who's actually doing that already. And maybe doesn't need to. All right, that's enough. That's enough of me complaining about the world's economy. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Thanks in advance for your dollar. I like when people say that, thanks in advance. That's such a fuck you, isn't it? Thanks in advance for your patience. Or like, thanks in advance for agreeing to this. And you're like, fuck you. Because then it makes you seem like a dick when you don't agree. Because you're like, thanks in advance, you can take your thanks and stuff them in a sack, mister, with your sorries, which you're about to say for assuming, you know, when you say sorry you feel that way, which is the fake way of apologizing for things. First you fake thank me, then you thank apologize for fake thanking me. Real piece of shit. All right, next time.